Mr. Jack Stogler.
And Jack is not here this evening. And tonight we're going to be talking with Tony Rogers, a local guy now over the last couple of years. And we're going to get to know him a little better, find out some information about him. He's got a long career in coaching, refereeing, all kinds of stuff. And we're just going to find out a little bit about him. And he's working on a project at home, and he'll be here in a minute or two. So just stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our seven different subs, plus your choice of two of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Elizabeth from Wayne Street Market. Start your new year out with our salad selections in our produce section. Don't forget to add our Cooper's Turkey from the deli department to add on your salads. And remember, Valentine's Day will be here before you know it, so don't forget that special someone in your life. We do customized gift baskets for all occasion. Thanks for shopping Wayne Street Market in historic downtown Fort Recovery, Ohio.
I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. The TurboMax by Great Plains takes vertical tillage to the max. With its hydraulically adjustable gangs and 3¾-inch overall blade spacing, TurboMax levels your seed bed without creating compaction. In the fall, run the machine with gangs at an angle to bury more residue. In the spring, keep the gangs straight to create a level, vertically tilled seed bed that is perfect for planting. Call K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today. See what the Great Plains TurboMax can do for you.
This Saturday, January 13th, Fort Recovery High School will host Worthington Kilbourne High School in boys basketball. Worthington Kilbourne is coached by Tom Souter. Tom is a graduate of Fort Recovery High School and is the son of former Fort Recovery Indians basketball coach Al Souter, who coached the Indians to the school's first state championship in 1971. Coach Souter has been battling Alzheimer's disease, and both schools will be playing for more than just a victory on Saturday night. The two schools and their communities will join together for an Alzheimer's benefit called the Longest Day. So this Saturday, January 13th, you're invited to team up with the Alzheimer's Association and Fort Recovery and Worthington Kilbourne Schools for a great cause and enjoy the sport that has meant so much to the Souter family while also helping to fight Alzheimer's. Together, the two communities will raise funds and awareness for care and support while advancing research to help find a cure for Alzheimer's disease. Admission to the game that night will be free of charge, but donations will be accepted at the door in honor of Al Souter and the Souter family's Longest Day benefit. In addition to the Alzheimer's benefit, we will be honoring Coach Souter between the JV and varsity basketball games. Be sure to get to Fort Sight Fieldhouse for the game this Saturday night to help honor Coach Al Souter and help raise funds to find a cure for Alzheimer's disease. Welcome back. This is Insight, and Tony Rogers will be with us. He's working on trying to get some information going here for some personal business. So he's wrapping up a long phone call and trying to get that taken care of. So right now his son Reese is with us, and of course Reese helps us out with basketball games. He's in here, helps us out with Sports Talk and Insight. If you've listened to any of the girls or boys basketball games, he does all the JV games and helps with any of them that Fort Recovery Radio broadcasts on the varsity. So does all the setup, and really do appreciate that, because it's really good to have somebody dependable when I can't always be around. So that helps a bunch. Basketball, let's just talk about that for a second while Dad's wrapping up his business.
The girls just got a good win in
Jackson Center.
Yep. And Coach Patch, I bet, will say more stuff than I will tonight on Sports Talk. And it's just one of those.
Yep, Coach Brian Patch will be on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee tonight.
It was just one of those games that I probably knew probably 3/4 of that Jackson Center girls team, and just because I used to be in the Shelby County. And then yep. They're just one of those teams that if they get a lead, they're not giving it back to you. They're just one of those teams that are just going to scrap, and they almost came back on us. And
yes, they did.
They put the Indians luckily got. I mean, if there was probably another half or another quarter, Jacksonville probably would get back into a 1 or 2 point game. It's just one of those games the Indians played well. I mean, Olivia Patch had a great game. Steve talked to Coach Patch after, and that was one of Olivia's best games I've seen her play. And she blocked number 40, which that was their biggest player. Olivia Clark had 22 points-ish. But, I mean, if Olivia wasn't out there and Val got in that foul trouble a little bit, and if we didn't have Olivia, I mean, that girl took over the game and had 30-plus. So.
Yeah, and sometimes, even if they score a bunch, if you just disrupt what they do and get them out of sync, you can really cause some problems. And it sounds like that's kind of what Olivia did in addition to, Brooke you know. A lot of people might remember back in 1990, I believe, when the boys went to state, Clark May held Smith. Now I can't think of his name from Worthington Christian. He ended up going to UD. He was just a heck of a player. He held him to 30 points.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just...
And, you know, that's holding somebody to 30 points, you know, doesn't sound right. And he did score a bunch of points, and apparently the Clark girl scored plenty of points last night, too.
Yeah.
But you just disrupt the flow of what they're able to do, and so sometimes they just have to take it on themselves to shoot those shots, and you can, you know, just because they scored 20 points doesn't mean you didn't play great defense.
No,
that's a little deceiving.
It's one of those where the Indians just—it's a non-conference game. I mean, Jackson Centers went to state in girls the last how many years? Yeah. 3 or 4 years.
The last 10, I think they've been there 5 or 6 times.
And they've won it a few times too, and they're good. They're a good solid team. That coach did well, and then just Coach Patch and his press. I mean, Brooke Collig made that a few of those girls, I mean, just look just careless with the ball. And then they have a big game tomorrow with the Bremen Tigers or the Bremen Cardinals.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. They're New Bremen, of course, has a pretty good team. Plus, the player of the year in the MAC 2 years ago. She didn't play last year. We're talking about Paige Jones.
Yep.
I believe she was player of the year in volleyball in the state this year.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to Michigan. I didn't want to say that out loud. The team up north, going to the team up north in volleyball next fall. So, she is a great athlete. She's not only very athletic, she's extremely skilled in volleyball and basketball and lots of other things. She's just really tough to beat. If she had a bad team with her, she'd be tough. She has a pretty good team with her.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's going to be quite a challenge tomorrow night. I believe they're 12-1, and we are, I think, 10-1, I think. 11-1. Yeah, I know at one point we were 10-1. I don't remember if it was before or after this week. But
we can jump over to the boys real fast.
Yeah, let's do that real quick.
And then one big game that happened last night, did you hear about the Versailles game?
No.
Versailles played Fort Laramie last night in a non-conference game at Versailles.
Yep.
Full packed. This place was Fort Laramie's one of the top.
Yeah.
I think they're ranked number one.
Oh.
And
I know they're good.
Fort Laramie was down 3, got a basket, made a 3 with 10 seconds or about 3 seconds left. Versailles calls a timeout, doesn't have it. Guy gets a technical. Fort Laramie goes down, makes 2 free throws, beats Versailles. At Versailles.
Oh, man. So was it one of the players that called the timeout?
It's coach.
The coach?
Coach called it.
See, you can almost excuse the players because they're not sitting there with the score guy like our, whoever would be that's Bubba for them.
Yeah.
Because Bubba keeps our coaches very much informed on how many timeouts you have left.
Yep, and then they have a conference game against the Cardinals that Friday, and that should be an interesting one. I don't think the Cardinals are that strong this year.
No.
They have...
No, there wouldn't be... We're playing
New Bremen Friday, aren't we?
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, boy. Still talking about Versailles. Okay. Nope. Yep.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're that strong. I don't know if you... had him.
Tony's here with us now. Tony Rogers, have you refereed any of their games?
I had a scrimmage.
Okay.
They're offensive minded. Like, and again, early in the year, I think Anna beat them 99-90 in overtime. So they can put up some points. The Haney kid, I think, had 35-36 points that game.
Yeah, they're
always big and strong.
I know they a couple of years ago they had a freshman class that was supposed to be full of great athletes after having so many years of just being not very good at hardly any sport. So I'm hoping for everybody's sake in the league that they're strong. Hope they're not strong enough to beat us, but they need to get that needs to be a good boys program at in every sport. So it's not, because one thing we don't need in this league is a pushover in any sport, because we need to have that competition week in and week out, or we just kind of you know, it gives you, it gets you started being lackadaisical, and that's just not good. Like, you can't do that.
I think that's what makes the MAC so special and so unique, is that usually from top to bottom it's a strong league, and each Friday night, you know, you have to show up or you might get beat.
Yeah, and in almost every sport, even our last place team, whoever it may be, boys, girls, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, usually our last place team has a winning non-league record. They go out and beat everybody else and can't win a game in the league. And we've been there with our girls program and some of that. It's not like that anymore, I don't think. But
I think Chelsea's first year, I can remember they had a very good non-league record. I think they didn't win a game in the MAC.
I was thinking that was volleyball was that last year or the year before, when I remember they won their first league game in 2-3-4 years.
Right.
And, you know, and we weren't a bad volleyball team then.
No, it was a good team.
Yeah. So, again, we're joined by Tony Rogers now, and after you got your your business taken care of, that looked frustrating.
I had to book a flight for Reese and I to go to spring training, so that was important. So.
Oh, that is important. That's very important.
I've always promised Reese we'd go sometime, and with coaching most of my life and teaching, it was just hard to get off. So I said, hey, we can do it now.
Let's do it. So who are you going to go down? Are you going to go out west to the Reds?
No, we're going down to Florida. We're going to go to the West Palm area, where you can see the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Astros, the Marlins. Did I say the Marlins? And the Mets are in the area.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, you know, it's not the Reds, but, you know, get to see a whole bunch.
Maybe next year.
Yep. Well, I guess usually the West Coast doesn't come over and play on the East Coast, do they?
No, not anymore.
Yep. So, let's kind of get started with Tony here. Tell us about your family. Who's wife, kids, all that stuff? Grandkids now?
Yeah. My wife and I have been married over 35 years. We have three children. Brandon, my oldest, lives in Elkhart, Indiana, where he is married and has two little girls.
Yep.
And then Chelsea is my middle child, and she's a teacher and volleyball coach here at Fort Recovery. And then Reese is our youngest, and he's a senior this year at Fort Recovery.
Yep, and a brand new granddaughter.
And Chelsea and Brady had a beautiful little daughter.
What's her name?
Remy.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that.
We're trying to spoil her rotten, so.
Yeah, I think you'll be very successful at that. And she is a cute little baby.
Yes, she is.
that's really good. So, let's see. You had been at, how long did you live in Botkins? Years and years, or?
Well, we moved to Botkins when we got married in 1980, and that was my first teaching job. I taught at Botkins and coached at Botkins. friends. And
now, where did you graduate from high school and college?
I went to Anna High School.
Oh, okay.
And
so that's not very far.
No, from right down the road. And yep. Went to Wright State and got my undergraduate, and then went to University of Dayton to get my master's.
And then your first job was at Botkins, and yep. You're there for
I was there for 35 all 35 years. Years of my career.
That's pretty good.
It is. And I'm proud of that fact that, you know, got to stay at the same school and got to retire at the school.
Yeah, that's, well, a lot of times if you're successful, you or somebody wants you to leave, and if you're not successful, they really want you to leave. So that's really good to stay with it long.
I was coaching, and I had opportunities where I could have sure. looked into mm-hmm. possibly moving on, and then I went back and got my administration license, and I had a couple opportunities where I could have went and been a principal somewhere, but I don't know. It just didn't work out, and
yeah.
we kind of stayed at Botkins and yeah, made and that our home.
Sometimes it's just, you know, we have, I think there are three people on staff right now at Fort Recovery that have administrative degrees that have never even pursued it. They got it just to get it, and when the opportunities were there, they didn't want to do it. When they maybe did want to do it, the opportunities weren't there. And right. and you know, we've got some pretty good people in our pocket sure. right now that have administrative degrees that aren't doing that
right.
and could step in a case of an illness or, you know, whatever may happen.
Right. And you know, that's the other reason people do go back and get their graduate degree is, you know, the step up in pay. And,
yeah.
you know, that's important to teachers. And
yes, it is.
But it also gives you that opportunity to move on to administration or guidance yeah. counselor or whatever.
Yeah, lots of things.
Sure.
So what are you currently doing now? You're sort of retired, but yeah, not really.
Not really. as soon as we came over, I became really a study hall monitor at the middle mm-hmm. school. And in the beginning, I Chuck Etzler and I kind of split the bus duties. And since that time, he's just subbing. So I'm pretty much a full-time bus driver morning and night, and do a lot of extracurricular bus trips along with still being a study hall monitor and, you know, a little bit of aid work involved mm-hmm. with that.
So do you ever substitute teach or...
He has me doing some things. I do take field trips okay. with kids, and yep. During testing time period, I will work with kids, helping them prepare for the state test at the end of the year. I have not substitute taught yet, even though I'd be interested. I really do miss teaching. When I retired a few years ago, I almost had to. They were changing all the financial yes. retirement.
Yeah, we had a number of very good teachers yeah. that kind of were forced to retire.
And I had no option but to retire. Yeah. But to be honest with you, I love teaching, and I really miss teaching.
Yep. So when you're at Botkins, what did you teach? What subjects did you teach, or did you teach a particular grade with all kinds of okay. things? Or
not only did I teach there all 35 years, but I taught in the same classroom all 35 years.
Wow.
Taught sixth grade. We were self-contained for about half of my career, and then the second half we started branching off, and I started teaching most of the math and science. It's a small school, you know, 40 yeah. to 50 kids per class, so we had two sixth grade teachers. I'd teach the math and science, and she would teach the language arts and social studies. So that was the way it was right up until Botkins built a new school, and the last half of the year over the Christmas break, we moved from the old school to the new school. So I shouldn't say I taught there all 35 years, but
yeah, well,
half a year I taught yeah. in the new school.
Now, the new school is located where?
It's out by the interstate.
I was thinking I'd seen that, by, yeah. but...
kind of where the park's at, mm-hmm. where the baseball diamond's at.
Now, had they outgrown the school there kind of downtown, or was it older and getting... needing way too much maintenance?
Yeah,
because it didn't seem like to me it was that old, and seemed like a pretty yeah. decent
We actually kept our last addition, which was the high school gym and a few classrooms okay. around the high school gym. That's still our competition facility, so they play the basketball and the volleyball and all that kind of stuff in our old high school gym. Mostly, though, the older two sections of the school were getting run down, and we had applied for the, you know, the state funding
yes.
throughout throughout the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. And finally, we got on that, and they built the school, built a junior high gym that the junior high participates in. But like I said, we kept the other gym and some classrooms and some facilities, some classrooms and some bigger rooms that they do some storage with.
Okay, so what's going on in that part of what happened to that part of town? Is that going to be housing, or is that going to be green space, or do you know?
Where the old school's at?
Yeah, where the old school.
They tore down everything but that new section, and it's basically parking now.
Okay.
And they needed parking.
For the sporting
stuff. For the ball games and all that.
And
stuff.
They don't have to go buy it. So that helps.
And the buses are located there.
They have to be somewhere, so why not use that spot?
Yeah, they really needed that area.
Yep, that's really good. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we'll be talking some more with Tony and find out a little bit about some of his coaching experiences and all kinds of things. So we'll be back in just a minute. Klinkern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klinkernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klinkern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Bohr's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Bohr's, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Bohr's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Bohr's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. Be sure to stop by on Friday for their pizza and wing lunch buffet. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. On Thursday, the girls will travel to New Bremen in another tough MAC contest. On Friday, the boys will host New Bremen. On Saturday, the boys will host Worthington Kilbourne and will be honoring former Fort Recovery basketball coach Al Sauter, whose son Tom is the head coach at Worthington Kilbourne. Thursday, girls at New Bremen. Friday, boys host New Bremen. Saturday night, we'll honor Coach Al Sauter as his son Tom's Worthington Kilbourne team will visit Fort Sight Fieldhouse. Get to all these games this weekend if you can to help cheer on our Indians team. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. And we're back talking with Tony Rogers and finding out a little bit about his life, his experience, his family. So we've talked about the family, talked about what you're doing now, and you're doing some officiating.
Yeah, I'm officiated ever since Chelsea graduated in 05, and about that time I started getting more into the officiating. And just to bring back to the Versailles game you guys are talking about, you know, a lot of times, yeah. When I heard about it, I was kind of surprised because most of the time the official, and I don't know what happened, so I'm not trying to blame the official, but sometimes they'll ignore that timeout, especially when you know he doesn't have any timeouts. Yeah. And you know, I was kind of surprised when I heard the scenario of what happened, because you hate to see a game finish like that.
Absolutely.
And determine.
Yeah,
that
especially if you can ignore it. Now, sometimes, especially if he's desperate, that coach will run out on the floor, and can't ignore that.
No doubt.
But we don't know that happened. But there's all kinds of things that can go into that, but the coach especially should have been aware of how many timeouts he had. Now, a player can, you know, they get kind of caught up in stuff the coach may sit in the huddle and whatever you do, don't call timeout. And sometimes they hear it, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But the coach has to, you know, somebody has to be in charge of making sure he knows that.
I'm sure if Chris Webber would have heard that radio broadcast, he'd have brought back nightmares for him when he called that timeout.
Yep. And so, that can happen.
It can.
It's unfortunate, but and it makes everybody feel pretty. I guess bad might not be the right word, but it's not a good feeling when you know that something happened that way.
Because you're talking about a great game, and even the winning team, yeah, I mean, they're glad. I'm sure they're more than happy they won, but to win it like that,
yes,
I think is a downer for the teams involved, the people that were there and everything. Yep.
And, you know, if he had known that and didn't try to call that timeout, 3 seconds isn't very much time to get something off. No. But when you got one of the best players in the state of Ohio.
You never know.
Yeah. I would say that if we were in that situation and we got Reese the ball at three-quarter court, at least one out of five would go in.
Man, he's never seen a shot he didn't like. So. Yeah.
And he's capable. You know, he's got a deadly shot from some range, and there's a lot of kids that a lot of times will go and when they're just messing around, they'll shoot from midcourt.
Oh, sure.
They'll take that shot plenty of times, and you see a lot of the junior high kids after our games and waiting around for Big Brother or somebody to come out after the games, they're out there shooting those shots they're hitting the rim a lot of times.
Sure.
That's not an impossible shot to make anymore.
And again, as a coach, you know, you go over situations and practices. I'm sure everybody has, you know, last second play, last second shot. So I'm sure they had something that
drawn
they
up,
could have drawn up and got Arnes a shot or made him a decoy and got somebody else a shot. But
yep. And sometimes that's the thing too, because like with us, if we had if everybody in the gym knew Peyton was going to take that shot. Grant's perfectly capable of taking that shot. So is Bronny and probably everybody else. Cade. There's a whole bunch of guys that could shoot that shot if we can get the defense to collapse on Peyton. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, he can shoot it. And he's pretty good at when he's getting double teamed. If he's not in a corner where he's really in trouble, if he's double triple teamed, he can get that. He can jump up and get that ball to somebody. So that'll help. Coaching. How long did you coach which sports?
Well, geez. My first year at Bakken's, one of the reasons I picked Bakken's was I thought that was going to give me the quickest avenue to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. I tell people that up until about August of my senior summer, after I graduated, I still really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just remember saying, I think I want to coach. And somebody said, well, you just can't go to school to be a coach. And I said, well, what can you be to be a coach? And I said, you might want to be a teacher. And I said, okay, I'll be a teacher. And it was, like I said, it was a quick decision, but definitely one of the best decisions of my life.
Sometimes when that strikes you, it may be just exactly that situation. When the perfect thing comes along, you know it.
Sure. So, like I said, Bakken's gave me the quickest avenue to be a head coach. I really wanted to be a head coach. I was JV coach my first year at Bakken's, and the second year I became head coach. And I had a unique situation at Bakken's. I was a head coach for boys and girls three different times. I was a head coach from, like I said, in 80, I was JV coach. In 81, I became head coach, and I think I was head coach until 86. I got out. I think I was one of those coaches that really spent way too much time in the gym. I just kind of got burned out. And so I took a step back. And as my wife would say, I have a hard time saying no to anything. So, of course, when I got out of basketball, my superintendent said, hey, you want to do baseball? So I said, why not? So after I got out of basketball, I was baseball coach for 4 or 5 years and also golf coach for 3 or 4 years, where I faced Bubba many times on the links. In 1990 or around there, the head coach at that time asked me if I'd be interested in becoming his assistant, which at the time was his JV coach too. And I missed it.
Would that have been Doug Hughes?
Doug actually took over for me the second time. So this was Bill Elsall.
Okay. And, I remember the name. Yeah, don't know the person, but definitely know the name.
It's kind of a unique situation. I became his JV coach and for 2 years. And those 2 years, I probably would put those up towards the best 2 years of my coaching. The JV team I had was 19-1 and 18-2 in 2 years.
So that was the ones that Doug took to.
Still
not the.
Wow,
they had some pretty good ones. Yeah.
But those 2 years,
bunch of good teams.
We practiced with the varsity and we would beat the varsity quite a few times in practice, which made Coach Elsall and the varsity kids awful mad. But after 2 years, Coach Elsall. For some reason, and I don't know the whole situation, but he did not have his certification in whatever he was teaching, science or whatever, and they kind of asked him to go back. They kind of warned him to go back to get his certificate, and he never did. So they basically got rid of him, and I became head coach after 2 years. Huh. This group of kids that we had those years, I remember when I was, I was a sixth grade teacher, even when they were fourth or fifth graders, people talked about, this is a team that's going to be the team that's going to get to the state. So, they had a lot of expectations on them. So I became coach their senior year. And, it's a hard situation for me. It's a hard situation for the kids. I mean, so many expectations. But we had some injuries during the year, but we ended up getting to the state. And, there's a memory I'll never forget, but it was also a very hard year. It was a tough year on everybody involved. Just like I said, the expectations and the stresses and the injuries we had. But we ended up getting beat by Worthington Christian in the semifinal. And in the other semifinal, Coach Elsall, who left Botkins, went to Upper Scioto Valley and became their head coach and took them to the state. And we always thought it'd been unique if both of us would have won, we'd have played for the state championship.
That would have been really pretty neat.
Yeah,
that would have been really good if that could have happened.
Yeah. So anyway, I after that year, I coached two more years, and at that time, our superintendent, which was also our AD, he was going to retire. He knew one of my goals in life was to become an AD. And he said, hey, do you want to become the AD? And I said, of course I do. They had a kind of an unwritten rule at Botkins where you couldn't be the AD and a head coach. So he said, you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want to, be the head coach or do you want to be the AD? And I said, I think it's time for a change. I think, get somebody new in here and I'll become the AD, which was, like I said, a goal of mine my whole life. So I became AD and they brought in Doug Hughes at that time.
Uh-huh.
And he took over for me. And with state of Botkins, I'm not sure, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I think.
But I was AD for 2 years. And I had my superintendent come up to me after my second year and said, hey, we don't have a girls coach for next year. I said, He said,
so who do you want me to hire?
Yeah, so we did some interviewing, and we did not interview anybody we even thought about hiring for that position. And finally he said, would you do it for 1 year? He said, I'm sure we can find somebody after next year. I said, I'll do it for 1 year. So I was teaching full-time. Oh, for AD, man. They gave me an hour a day to do all my work. And I
That's
also
good if
was,
everybody answers the phone.
Yeah, and I also became head coach of the girls. And I had two amazing freshmen on that team. And we ended up that first season 12-8. And things looked really good. So my superintendent came up to me the second year. He said, hey, what do you think? I said, well, I really don't want to quit coaching. He said, well, I've had pressure that you were one of the few that we allowed to do both. You're going to have to make a decision. So I've been AD for 2 years. Something I really wanted to do, but the girls' position was just, too hard to turn down. So I kept coaching them. The next year, we went to the regional finals. And it was the first year that Minster, or the North, came south to play in the regionals. And it was It was time when Minster had Lauren Shank. I'm not sure if you can remember. Lauren Shank was very good, went to Ohio State.
Yeah, we don't like her.
No, and they they just so happened got a, what do you call the kids that come over from other countries?
Exchange student.
They got an exchange student from Finland.
Yeah.
Her name was Parapari.
Yeah.
And she ended up going to Xavier for 4 years. Yep. And she was actually supposed to be the Minster coach last year.
Yeah.
And couldn't get a visa or whatever to come over.
Yeah, I knew they had that after Nan Stechschulte retired. She was already hired. Everything was all set. And then she couldn't do it. That's a weird situation. But
So anyway, I don't think anybody else in the state could have beat us that year. But it just so happens Minster came down from the north for the first time. They had that exchange student that was unbelievably good, and they beat us by five, 6 points.
A lot
points.
Of times when you have an exchange student on your team, they sit on the bench till the last 30 seconds of the game.
Not this one.
I remember her.
So I don't know.
She was tough.
I thought it would have been neat to been able to take a girls and a boys team to the state,
but
it wasn't to be. And like I said, they were sophomores that year, juniors, as a junior class. Then we ended up winning. I think we lost one game during the season. We're 19-1 and ended up getting upset in the sectional finals by Jackson Center. And
well, that when it's Jackson Center, it's not necessarily upset.
And then
I know what you mean.
Even then, those girls as seniors, we didn't have the girls around them, but I think we won 18-19 games that year and got beat by Fort Laramie that year in the sectional finals. So it was a good 4 years. I kept coaching until Chelsea got through. 2005, when she graduated, I knew she was going to play college ball, so I knew I was going to get out at that time.
Let's take another quick break, and we'll be back, talk a little more with Tony Rogers and find out a little more about him, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Derek there?
Well, there's no one here named Derek.
But my brother Derek said you always have something for everyone.
Oh, you're talking about that, Derek. Well, he's right. We do have something for everyone with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more.
Do you have someone there that can help Derek clean up his messy room?
Well, miss, that's one thing we really can't help him with.
Thank you.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
I remember a time when we didn't have to wear sweaters in the house to keep warm.
That was just a few months ago. It's called summer.
But now, why do we have to wear sweaters indoors?
Because we have a horrible heating system. And why are you talking like an old man? You're only 37.
Oh, I forgot. I'll call Reasoner Energy. They'll uncover any problems and give us solutions. I hear Reasoner Energy has been the go-to heating expert for years and years.
Stop it.
Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Are you planning a building project? Let B&D Contracting help you with your plans. Get together with Dave Kalp and discuss your plans and construction schedule. B&D Contracting also does remodeling and can build your commercial, agricultural, or steel building in addition to their custom-built homes. Call Dave today at 419-234-2976 and schedule your construction project. B&D Contracting is a proud athletic supporter. The Fort Recovery American Legion, along with the Red Cross, will be hosting a blood drive on Monday, January 22nd, from noon to 6 p.m. They suggest that you make an appointment by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code AMLEGFREC to schedule your donation appointment, but walk-ins are welcome. There's always a need for blood, no matter what time of year, so give life and donate blood at the Legion's Blood Drive on Monday, January 22nd, between noon and 6 p.m. and help the Red Cross save lives. Make your appointment now at 1-800-RED-CROSS or at redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code AMLEGFREC. Welcome back to Insight without Jack Stogler tonight. He's off, and we're talking with Tony Rogers, and we've talked about his family, talked about some of his coaching, talked about some of the teams he's had, boys, girls. I ran into your daughter Chelsea at the grocery store this evening, and she was saying that there's a chapter or so in a book about you that a lot of us are sort of familiar with, But I don't have it. I've never seen it. But is it expect to win, something like that?
Now I'm confused on why it's called. Now you asked me too quick, but I know win is involved with it. But it was a book. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. You know, a lot of people probably know what that book is, even if they can't think of the name either.
Sure.
A lot of people have seen that. But so there's some in there about you.
Yeah, there's a lady from Jackson Center, Jenny Zorn. Called all the coaches in this vicinity and wanted to write a book about their experiences of going to the state championships in basketball. Mm-hmm. She interviewed quite a few coaches. I think it was 17, 18 coaches that were in the book, so 18 chapters. There were some coaches from the MAC. Fran Gilboa, I remember, had one. Jack Albers was in it. There's some Shelby County League coaches, Jerry Harmon and Paul Bremingen. Dan Hagemeyer from Laramie and from New Knoxville. Yep. But, you know, they dedicated a chapter to each of the coaches that took a team to the state. And it was kind of neat. Towards the end, when the book was getting wrapped up, we had a couple get-togethers at Fishmo's in St. Henry. So, you know, it's neat to have all those coaches. And they were, the ages were not, you know, we were getting a little bit older, but the ages were from younger coaches to real old coaches. And it was neat to hear and to talk to those coaches that you heard about. Even I heard about it. You know, I remember playing at Anna, and we, our coach, Bob Anderson, who was a really good coach, we would scrimmage St. Henry the last scrimmage of every season, at the beginning of every season. And I look back to this day, I know why he did it. You know, we got our butts kicked every time, but it made us come back to earth.
Yeah.
It made us, you know, regenerate some enthusiasm. And, you know, I think he did it just to make sure that we weren't too confident heading into the season, because we had some good teams in Anna too, but, you know, St. Henry had some monstrous teams back in those days.
Yeah. Now, real early, not real early, but in the 70s especially, St. Henry was well known for going 19-1 and getting a bye in the tournament and losing the first game to the worst team around.
Yeah.
They did that year after year until Mike Post and some of those guys, Chuck Stahl, I think it was, and some of those guys came along. Then they finally got two state and won. But, you know, for a long time, they had great teams that couldn't win a sectional.
Yeah.
They could win state, but they couldn't win a sectional to get to state. So, they've had some really good teams over there.
And then Coach Souder, he was in it. I'm trying to think of some other, there's a guy from, Versailles, I think, but I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, I can't think of their coach, because they weren't in our league till 10 or 12 years ago, so it's hard to, it might be longer ago than that, but they weren't in our league then. We probably played them, I know we played them in 1971, because they were the last team to beat us.
Okay.
And they had an official, who I won't name, that made sure that we did not win that game.
And no.
Yeah, this is a story I've heard, and it has to be true because I heard it from somebody, from an extremely good source. A few years later, he came up to our coach, Al Souder, who was also, I think, our athletic director, at least had a chance to talk to him sometime, and said, you remember that game at Versailles? Yes, I remember that game at Versailles. And he said, well, you know, what I did for them, I can do for you. And just turned around and walked away.
You know, one of the reasons, I think, when schools went to an assigner is because of that.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, schools would hire their own officials.
Mm-hmm.
They were known homers, you know, because, you know, you were asked to come back. And, and as an official, you wanted to have as many jobs as you could.
Yeah.
But I think that ended up causing the assigner to happen, which I think was made the game of basketball better.
I think so. You know, you don't always get the same crowd that loves you or hates you. You don't always get, you know, you're not always expected to give the home team
sure
the advantage. But yeah.
So anyway, at that meeting at Fishmo's, it's kind of neat because all the coaches had their books and you know, everybody was autographing the books for everybody and you know, that was special. And like I said, I had the book in my study hall, and every time, you know, a kid said, no, I just don't have anything to do, I said, okay, read chapter 7 of this book. And they'd read it, and their eyes would light up. You're in this book! I said, yeah. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm not just some grumpy old guy telling you to wake up and study.
Exactly.
So you do some officiating.
Yeah.
Do you do just basketball?
I used to do baseball. That's been a while. But yeah, right now I'm doing basketball, and I'm actually thinking about maybe trying to do volleyball in the upcoming years. But
well, you've been watching a lot of it lately.
Yes. But yeah, officiating, like I said, this is probably, because I actually did some junior high officiating in those in between coaching stints I had.
Oh, yeah.
And then I became a full-fledged official in 2005. And, you know, I do probably, you know, 30 varsity games a year. I do them in the MAC and the WBL, the Shelby County. You know, I go all over the place. You know, they really spread you out and take you.
Do they make you go more than 50, 60 miles?
Well, it's up to you.
Oh, okay.
You can put on it's called the arbiter now, where you have to accept contracts and stuff. You can put down the number of miles that you know you want to travel. But for the most part, like a signer for the Northwest Conference will try to keep me maybe at Spencerville, mm-hmm. somewhere a little bit closer than taking me all the way up to.
Who else in that Northwest?
Northwest is like Columbus Grove and Allen East Spencerville.
Yep, I can remember who was in that with Spencerville. I was trying to, the next one I could think of is Delphus, and they're in ours.
Yeah.
Or Delphus, St. John, Delphus Jefferson is probably in there.
They're in the Northwest Conference, So, but I'll even go. I used to do a lot in the Bell Fountain Springfield area, but with the move to Fort Recovery, I just can't get that far.
Yeah.
So I still do a few, but closer to 75 than it was before. So.
Yeah, because where you were, you could get on 75 and get a whole lot of distance north and south with zero trouble. So
I think most of them try to keep you within an hour, you know. Sometimes you'll travel an hour for varsity games, so.
Yeah, that's not too bad, I guess. Because, you know, from here, if we go to Delphus, that's an hour away.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know, it's not, if you had to do that as your job several times a year, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but be easier.
Yeah.
So, as far as maybe some memorable players, not necessarily great players, but maybe great players, but memorable players or teams or anything like that. Is there anything that sticks out?
On those two teams I've talked about, the state boys team and the state or the girls team that went to the regionals, I think out of those two classes, I had five kids that scored over 1,000 points. And I thought that was kind of special. Those two freshman girls started every game their whole career. And they both, you know, broke all kind of school records. And they're towards the top of the county records, too. And then, like I said, the boys, there's three boys on that team that ended up scoring over 1,000 points. Actually, in my first Stennis coach back in 1981, I had a kid by the name of Bob Burden. He played JVs as a freshman for me, and then when I moved up, he became a varsity player, and so he played a sophomore, junior, and senior years and scored, I think he scored almost 1,800 points. And he was a scoring machine. I think he
must have been, because I just remember Greg Colley went to our Hall of Fame last week, and he had 1,700 and something. So if he scored as many as Greg, that's a scoring machine.
And at that time, we had teams, I'd say both as juniors and senior year, we were a little bit over 500, but nothing special. We just didn't have a lot of guard play at that time. You know, so he scored that many points without a lot of tournament games either.
Wow.
So he's a special kid.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about coaching that, you know, I look back and have fond memories of just some of those kids, and still having some relationships with those kids, even even to today.
Yeah, so what were some of the names of like the two girls that you were talking about?
Jamie Beeler and Alyssa Rickert were the two girls off that team. Jamie's a doctor in the Walpock area today.
Oh.
And Alyssa lives out in Colorado, I think. Just two kids that, you know, played like guys, and they were really fun to coach. That team, those girls' teams, we always said we were going to start pressing as soon as the bus let them out. And we would press all game, and we were on the floor, and you know, we'd score, you know, as a girls' team, we'd score 70, 80 points a game. And I remember beating Anna. I think we beat them 98 to 70 something one of those years. So, you know, for a girls' team, we put up the points.
Well, to put up 70 points and lose, that's
exactly
a lot. Get beat by a bunch.
Exactly. But, you know, I went to some coaching clinics. We went to a clinic in Kentucky when Rick Pitino was the head coach there. And his assistant, who kind of ran the clinic, was Billy Donovan.
Oh, yeah.
And their you know, their philosophy was, you know, press and run the floor. And you know, we just fell in love with that kind of play. And
especially, you know, if you have the personnel that can do it.
Exactly, exactly. And then we went to, the same year, we went to a clinic with Bob Huggins, who was at Cincinnati at the time. Mm-hmm. And he kind of had the same philosophy, but he took it a step further in that we changed our defenses to the way he approached his teams. And just the pressing at that time with the girls just overwhelmed teams. I mean, it was just it's kind of a matchup press, and then we actually fell back into a matchup zone, and it looked like a man-to-man, but it's a matchup and confused teams. And
well, and even if they're not confused, even now, lots of girls' teams don't handle a press well at all. Even teams that press don't handle one when it's thrown on them. There are some girls and some teams that are really good at handling it.
Sure.
But you really have to, if you only run into it once or twice in a year, you're not really prepared for it.
Right.
Fortunately, we have a lot of teams in our league that at least press it at times, but almost nobody presses all the time. But we run into that, so you're at least know sort of what to do, even if you have to call a timeout and remind them a little bit. But
sure,
if they haven't seen it, you are lost.
And
especially if you had some girls that are quick-handed, like we have this year on our girls' team. We've got some girls that are pretty quick, and they'll take the ball from you.
Yep, and like I said, when we got beat by Minster, the reason we got beat was that Parapari could dribble through anything.
Yep.
And
just
when a team had a really good point guard, our press just wasn't quite as good.
Yep.
But so a lot of good memories of a lot of good teams, a lot of good players. And
that's really it's a lot of fun when you have some a lot of former players that you kind of still know about and know what's going on with them and can keep up. Let's take one more quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Tony, and then we'll get to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee back in just a minute.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Be sure to stop in to Brick Street Tavern every Friday night for a Queen of Hearts drawing at 10 o'clock. You could win thousands of dollars if your name is drawn and you pick the Queen of Hearts. The pot just keeps getting bigger every week that we have no winner. Ask your server for tickets when you stop in for lunch. You have to be there to win the full amount, but even if you can't get there for the drawing on Friday night, you can still get 40% of the pot. So be sure to get your tickets for Brick Street Tavern's Queen of Hearts drawing and be ready to win some big bucks. You can stop by Brick Street anytime to buy your tickets. The drawing will be every Friday night at 10 o'clock after the basketball games.
Cooper Farms in Fort Recovery, Ohio is currently offering a $1,000 sign-on bonus to qualified Class A CDL drivers to fulfill the role of a third shift live haul driver. This position allows you to be home daily and offers an outstanding benefits package. To apply and find details relating to this position, please visit our website at cooperfarms.com/join our team or contact Human Resources at 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Committee for the Pavilion at Fort Recovery Community Park is selling tickets for a beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart. You can get your tickets for only $20 from any committee member, and they'll be available at the boys' and girls' home basketball games where this beautiful golf cart will be on display. They're only selling 750 tickets, so be sure to get yours soon. They'll draw the winner at the Jubilee next summer, or before if they get all the tickets sold sooner. Construction on the new three-season pavilion will begin this summer, and it'll be ready for use in the spring of 2019. The pavilion will hold over 100 people with plenty of parking, and you can purchase a paver brick for the large outdoor patio with your name or your business name on it by contacting Aaron Miner at the Village Hall. Don't miss out. There will only be 750 tickets available for your chance to win this beautiful street-legal Yamaha golf cart at any of the boys' or girls' home basketball games or from committee members Jackie Leverett, Michelle Deuce, Randy Diller, Aaron Miner, Roger Berman, Tom Segrist, Don Lennertz, or Bill Bechtel. And we're back here with Insight without Jack Stogler tonight, talking to Tony Rogers. And, of course, Reese is always with us. He's a fixture here on Talk Night and also broadcast the sports for us. So you guys have an interesting hobby. Tell us a little bit about that and how it got started and where you are in this hobby of yours.
Well, Reese and I, and even my older son, who I started doing this with, we all love baseball. We love watching it. We love playing it. And we loved going to games. And when my younger son, or my older son, was about Reese's age, probably, you know, a little bit younger than Reese, we started going to games. And he started getting interested in taking the baseball and trying to get some signatures on it. And just didn't do as much with him. But, you know, when Reese was a little kid, we really got involved with getting trying to get autographs, and it's become a hobby of both of ours, and we are kind of devoted at getting as many autographs as we can.
So as far as players that everybody's heard of, even non-baseball fans, do you have pretty much everybody? What was that? What was that, Jeff? He got Jackson Hobbs autograph.
Reese collects mainly cards.
Okay.
I collect. I mean, I help him with his cards, but I also collect Sports Illustrated. I try to get as many of those signed as I can. I also collect bigger pictures of. Order them through Sports Illustrated. You can get the 11x14s of the cover.
Oh, okay.
So I get those, and I work on those. But, you know, some of the ones I have, like, Bill Russell on his Sports Illustrated.
Ooh.
I have an Oscar Robinson.
Ooh.
I have Stan Musial. I have a lot of,
wow,
you know, those players that I kind of remember.
So were you able to get those yourself, or did you have to go out and try to barter and trade for those?
Most of them I either got myself or went to a card show where these guys were at.
Oh.
At the card shows, you had to pay money, you know.
But to get Bill Russell's autograph, you know, that's just awesome. You know, people that aren't around anymore, and they're just, you know, Oscar Robertson, the Big O, man. Yeah. He was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan was even born. He was awesome.
I have to tell you a good story. Last summer, we went to a Donald Trump rally when he was in Ohio running for president. And Reese and I, and we talked Chelsea into going with us. So we went, and we were in line at probably noon
forever. For it seemed like the whole day.
Noon for a 7:30 speech.
Oh, man.
And we got in the place, and, you know, they frisk you. You know, they let you take stuff in. They wouldn't let you take a baseball in, which I wanted to get them on a baseball. Oh, but when we got in there, we were kind of deflated because where Trump was going to speak, they had two gates where the VIP people would be closest to him. And we were a section behind, and we're thinking, geez, there's no way that we're going to be able to get close to him to try to get an autograph from him. So as soon as he was done talking, I said, I don't care. I climbed the fence, little rail.
I went before everyone else did. Because you're like, go, and I jumped. And I was honestly scared because they're all of his protection.
Yeah, this is Secret Service. Yeah. This isn't some guy that's probably not going to pull a gun on you. These guys are trained to shoot you if they think that you're so
Reese,
a threat.
Reese went, I went, Chelsea went, and I was kind of laid back, and I got my one from Mr. Trump, and I think Reese got two or three from Trump, and Chelsea got a couple, and I think President Trump actually told Reese the last time, I've signed for you enough, no more. so those are that was a good time, and
there's always a lot of stories that I mean, like he said, I'm always around it, and I mean, you can probably name anyone, and I probably have either seen him, got their autograph, talked to him, got a picture with him. I mean, I think it's almost as cool to get at least an autograph and a picture with him, just so I can, I mean, when I get older, I can look back and say, wow, I got pictures with Bryce Harper. I wish I would have got one with Trout. I got a few with Hunter Green, the Reds prospect. And it's a fun time. And
Chris Bryant.
It's just a fun time to hang out with dad and be able to share the moment and be able to just do something we love together. So,
yeah, and you actually have something that you can hang on to and have for as long as you want to have it,
right?
Yeah, or as long as your wife will let you keep it in the house.
we have a couple goals. We had, I mean, I'm not sure if you remember the card sets, but yeah, you know, in the major league card sets, there are 700 yeah, cards, and to have a goal of trying to complete that, get every card signed, was almost impossible. So we ended up going they started putting out minor league cards. Tops put out the minor league set, and there's about 250-ish. Yeah, 50 cards, and we've completed like almost completed two of the sets, and working on two or three others. So,
wow.
We have goals, and, you know, we're always checking out, you know, who's playing where, and
yeah,
you know,
well, that's great because you know, you don't know who of those is going to end up being the next. You know, the next whoever, you know, A-Rod or whoever it might be, or Bryce Harper, or, you know, on and on.
Chris Bryant, when he was in the minor league, was, I mean, a great signer. I mean, he would. You couldn't say no. You could go to the Tennessee Smokies and get as many as you wanted from him, and he's still a nice guy. But he just, you know, he has to cut back. I mean,
otherwise his arm won't work anymore. Exactly. anything else that we haven't covered, Tony?
I think you've covered my life.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
So all we heard was good. So it's been a good life.
Yep. It was.
Yeah.
I enjoyed hearing it in Fort Recovery too.
Hope the next 50 years are good. So what's something I didn't ask? Just tell us why you did move to Fort Recovery.
Well, there's a lot of reasons.
Jeff Hobbs is taking a bow as if he's the guy.
Yeah, you know, when I retired from Botkins, the superintendent I had there had told me for a couple years, hey, we know you're going to retire. She said, you know, I'd love to have you back. We want you to retire, and then we'll rehire you back. And I was kind of all set for that, already for that. And kind of at the last second, we had a couple of new board members that said they just didn't believe in that process. So, you know, they kind of waited until right at the last second. I was kind of bitter about that. Reese was playing sports in Botkins, and the sports programs were just not very good at the time. And, you know, Chelsea moved to Fort Recovery. She had a great principal. He said that he'd love to have Reese come over.
So that was before Jeff Hobbs?
Said he'd love to have Reese come over and play. And, you know, not only that, Chelsea just, you know, praised the, not only, I'm not making fun, you know, making fun now, but she praised the administration. She praised, you know, the teachers and the kids. And she made it seem like a really great place to relocate. And I think it's been a really good change for Reese, too.
Guys, I think so, too. And you know, we he's one of those guys that, you know, he comes to the baseball program especially and you know, fits exactly right in, you know, in a lot of places. He could very easily be the number one pitcher, probably almost anywhere. Here he's
except
probably
for Fort Recovery.
Well, he's 1A, but, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's going to get us a long way this year, I think, because he's, you know, there was so many good things last year and the year before with Reese and Nick and actually...
Oh, we have a great pitching
Cade, and, you know, last year we went five deep without really getting hurt. Some particular game, somebody was a little, maybe off a little bit, but for the most part, we'd go five deep and not be hurt at all. And this year it's going to be that again, you know.
Yep. Staff's good. You know, I think we have some holes to fill, and I'm hoping the young kids can come up and fill those holes.
Yeah, our pitching staff is definitely... aces, but the other spots, there's some things, but you know, we've had a lot of people that over the last several years that when it's their turn, no matter what sport, baseball, even in football and all those, when it's their turn, they just step up and do it.
Sure.
And it's I think that's going to happen again this year. I think we have a good coaching staff, and the same except for Harold. And you know, it's the coaching staff has been there a long time.
Yes,
and they know the kids. Kids know them. They know what to expect, and it's all positive. And I think it's a really good thing. So again, want to thank you, Tony, for stopping in. Talking with us tonight, and I hope the trip all gets booked for the spring training trip down to Florida.
It's booked, and
all right.
Appreciate your hospitality.
Yep. All righty. We'll be back in just a minute or two with Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.